Hey guys, happy holidays. It is Eva and I am here with another episode of Currently Binging. And yes, this is the biannual fall finale episode. So yeah, I don't think I have that many shows to talk through. I do have notes. Let's see, 2, 4, 6. I'm going to talk about 7 shows. So I'm not talking about every single show I watched. One, because this year was a little weird. I feel like I had to sit through 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks of finales to get all the shows, which is why, one, this took so long. And then secondly, personal life, I decided this year to host Christmas at my house. And so I've been getting ready for that. So unfortunately, that also pushed this episode back a little bit. But I wanted to make sure that I did get this episode out to you guys because I love doing this episode. Hopefully you guys love listening to this episode. It's just a time for me to sit and talk about and reflect over the shows that I've been watching this season so far. I am going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. briefly, even though technically they didn't have a fall finale or winter finale or whatever we're calling it this year. I feel like every year it changes and every network says their own thing. But I will talk about them for a little bit because they didn't have a winter finale. They are taking a 2-week break. And so I just really quickly want to give my thoughts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they had a technically almost sort of kind of a mid-season premiere, even though we're not in mid-season yet. Usually mid-season premieres start in January. But it premiered after Inhumans, which I believe was 8 or 7 episodes. It was a short season. So last year we were all scared that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't coming back, and then they got renewed, which I was happy about. But then we also got Inhumans, which Inhumans got his own little weird feedback. Like, people either hated or people liked it, and there weren't really people in the middle that I could see. I didn't talk about Inhumans. I was actually going to do a whole episode on Inhumans, but then I just was like, I'll just let Inhumans rest. I feel like Inhumans is a show, it's very, very comic booky, and I feel like that probably would appeal. I feel like the show appealed more to people who are really into, I don't even want to say that because I feel like even some people who are really into the comic books didn't really like this show. But I do think that because it was so comic booky, that was kind of some of the downfalls of the show, because for Marvel, I think we're used to seeing shows from them that don't necessarily feel like a comic book show per se, even though these are comic book characters. But yeah, I'm getting off a little bit. I want to rewind a tad bit and say, because I just jumped right into it, guys. I want to rewind a little bit and say, one, thanks for listening and sticking it out with me. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure that you subscribe and rate and comment, especially on iTunes, so I can know what you guys are thinking of the show and of these episodes and what you want to hear from me, and also to keep the dialogue and communication open. So I'll make sure you guys rate and comment. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play, all Currently Binging. So yeah, now that I have that out of the way, let's get into this. So I guess I can circle back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since it's not really a finale, a winter finale, and I have a few other shows to talk about. And I'm going to try to do this quickly because it's been a few weeks since this has happened, and my notes on some of these are really, really short. So let's start on the CW, and we're going to start with Supergirl. So Supergirl this season has been, for me personally, it's been up and down. I kind of did not know how I felt about Kara being all sulky because Mon-El was gone. And then Mon-El comes back and, oh, he comes back from the future with his wife. And so it's all this weirdness. And I was just like, okay. But I think I talked about this in my special CW DC TV crossover episode about how they were setting it up for the Legion of Superheroes, and I believe Manel and his wife are a part of that. And we also officially hear of the Legion of Superheroes in this winter finale episode. And as far as its tie-in to the crossover, it honestly didn't even feel like they left for that crossover event. We literally started right where we left off before the crossover. So it's a little weird because they didn't really mention much about it. Whereas I feel like every other show really talked about the after effects of what happened during that 2-day, 4-show crossover event. So it's a little weird. And I feel like this is because last year Supergirl was their first time in the crossover. And everyone complained because it was literally the last 3 minutes of that episode that tied into the crossover. And then this year we jumped in head first and we came out the crossover and there was like really no mention of it. So it's a little weird. James and Lena have a thing for each other. And I mean, who didn't see this coming? I believe this was one of the most obvious things of this season. I mean, for the last couple of seasons, honestly, I feel like James has been playing a heavy backseat to all of the other characters. And I think it's surprising, especially how much of a heavy role he had in the first season of Supergirl. And now, last season, we barely saw him. And then this season, it started off, we were barely seeing him. We're seeing him a little bit more, but I still do get that backseat feeling from him, from his character. So hopefully we'll see where this whole relationship thing goes and how it leads and ties into the rest of the season. And hopefully we'll get some more James screen time. Also, I think as with all of these CW DC TV shows that our superhero teams are getting so big that we have to split so much of our time between trying to develop all of these characters that unfortunately some of our favorite characters or longtime characters end up taking a back seat to some of the newer characters. So we'll see where that leads. Also, Rain. So this episode was about Rain, who is officially here. She ends up calling out Supergirl, and this girl can fight. Like, you know, watching these shows, like, oh, whoever the title character is, you know, they're not going to die. They're going to somehow eventually win. But there were moments where I was like, can Supergirl actually really beat her? And I like when shows are able to introduce those types of elements where it often makes you second guess how much you believe in that title character. Because Rain was kicking Supergirl's ass hardcore. So I don't think that it was revealed, her real true identity was revealed to Kara in this finale episode. So when that happens, because they're friends, so when that happens, that is going to be interesting to see. Because at this point, and this happens with a lot of our characters, especially our happier ones, I feel like they have been going through a lot lately, our happier superheroes, i.e. Flash and Supergirl, even though we'll get to the Flash later, but I feel like they have just been getting their emotions royally kicked, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays into Kara's development, because this would once again be someone who she trusted who ends up being her enemy, and how this whole storyline will play out in the end if Rain ends up being evil. Because you guys know I don't read the comic books, so I don't really know much about this character. I like to be surprised. So we'll see where they go this season. But that's all I have to say about Supergirl. I mean, I feel like we're getting there. Let's just see how this whole story arc plays out throughout the season. Because I know last season and the season before that was an issue for me. So yeah. So let's move right along to The Flash. So I know a complaint of many viewers the past two seasons was that The Flash is getting too dark. It wasn't happy like it was in the first season. And I can say this season has been a little more uplifting than previous seasons, especially last season. Last season was rough. especially the second half, because the whole Iris is going to die thing was a heavy topic. But this season so far has been, it's been pretty funny to me, at least. Barry and Iris are finally married, and I know a complaint that I saw from some viewers was how Felicity overshadowed Iris's wedding, Iris and Barry's wedding moment, to have herself and, oh my gosh, Oliver, to have herself and Oliver also get married, and that the fact that Iris didn't say anything about it, but she slightly addresses it, not so subtly, about them crashing their wedding. And that was a funny moment, and hopefully that was a great payoff for people who had an issue with Felicity overtaking their moment. So Iris is not dumb. She addressed it, and that was good enough for me. We finally got to see more of Thinker, and everybody was getting snatched off the streets in this finale. Barry got snatched off the streets. Amunet snatched Caitlin from the coffee shop. And then later, DeVoe, like, body snatched somebody. So, I mean, this was the episode of snatching. And snatching did happen. But, yeah, I think the Thinker, is, I'm pretty sure it's just Thinker, but I want to say the Thinker. I feel like he is going to be an interesting villain this season, because as we all know, a lot of the complaints for the previous seasons of Flash have been that the villain is always a speedster, and I believe I've also possibly complained about it at some point. So it's refreshing to see a different type of a villain, and one who, well, at least for the first half of the season, we didn't really know what his plan was, and we knew that he was confined to a wheelchair. And I'm not familiar with the comics, so I have no idea what he actually does. But then now, moving into the second half of the season, he's mobile, and we don't, and I don't even, they don't even know who he is, like whose body he took in this moment. So, or wait. Yeah, they don't know. Or no, they do know, because I believe that happened. That all happened at the same time when Barry was there, was watching. I could be wrong. Call me out on it if I am. You guys, it's been like a couple of weeks since I watched these episodes, so I'm just going off my notes. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this villain transforms in the second half now that he's mobile and he has an entirely different identity, essentially, even though he's the same mind. But we do know that Barry has been set up. Yeah, so Barry did see him snatch the new guy's body, because he set Barry up for murder to make it look like Barry murdered DeVoe, even though DeVoe has just transferred himself to this new body. And Barry was going to try to clean it all up, which I was like, you're the fastest man in the universe. You can, like, clean all this up and they can figure it out. But I guess he didn't want, which I know why he didn't want to do it. He's like, oh, I want to prove my innocence. So going to next season, we're most likely going to have a trial, and Barry's going to try to prove that he did not kill DeVoe. So that will also be interesting, because Barry will, at least for, who knows, probably the first couple of episodes, Barry will be in jail. So I'm assuming that we're going to have to see what the team does without him once again. And I don't know if that means that Wally will be coming back, because you know Wally has been finding himself wherever he's been finding himself. And then we also do have a new member, Stretch, on the team, which I like him as an addition. I think he's funny, but at this moment in time, I don't think we need to grow the team anymore. We have enough people, and they all have abilities. So now we have a very solid ability-filled Team Flash. And I am good with that. And Caitlin has got control over sort of kind of Killer Frost. And so that whole thing is happening, which I also appreciate. So yeah, I'm fine with the team. We don't need to grow it anymore. We don't need to add any new people this season. This is fine, because, you know, every season I feel like when we come back, we've lost one of the new ones that we gained from the previous season. So we'll see how far the stretch goes and if he will carry on into the next season. I mean, we have a whole another half of the season to go. So who knows where the chips may fall. But yeah, The Flash, this season, I've been loving it. Barry and Iris are finally married. I know people have been complaining and saying that they do not feel like Barry and Iris have, or at least the actors have, good chemistry. I see it. I do think that in the midst of these dark roads that we've gone down on the past couple of seasons, we kind of lost the ability to have those connections and show the audience that they do have great chemistry. But when we do see those moments, to me, it looks like they have chemistry. I just think people, for some reason, especially with our female characters in these superhero shows, and it's not just The Flash, it's Arrow, Gotham, like all these different shows, I feel like we find one female character and just want to tear her to shreds and make sure she gets off of the show. Did it in Gotham, and we're doing it in Arrow with Felicity, and we're still doing it in The Flash with Iris. And yeah, they can be sometimes annoying, but it's to the point where people are like campaigning to get these people off the show, which is so weird to me. Just let the story play. But yeah, that's just my opinion. So that's The Flash. Can't wait to see what goes on. That comes back. Legends literally stuck a knife in my heart, twisted it multiple times, and yanked it out. I was so not expecting what happened at the end of this episode. I mean, I kind of was, because I was like, wait a minute. Are we going here? Is this happening? Why didn't I not see this? I did not see this news anywhere. What is going on? Did I miss this? I mean, I haven't really been reading a lot of entertainment blogs like I used to, but I feel like I would have seen this information. So Jax left the Waverider at the end of the episode in Fran's drama, which hopefully I said your name right, officially exited the show. Heartbroken. Like, Jax is one of my favorite characters because, I mean, he's the youngest. I feel like he brings, like, a young, cool, like, hip thing to the whole team and kind of holds them together. And, you know, I loved his storyline with Stein. And, you know, I talked about his death earlier or in the previous episode of Currently Binging. And I feel like they had a really great connection and it was really great to watch, but unfortunately, you know, he died because the actor had to go on and do other things. But I was like, we could have found something for Jax to do, like anything. What the heck? I don't understand. So yeah, he's gone. I mean, at least they didn't kill him off, and they still left the door open for him to be able to come back. But yeah, he's gone. And I was not going into this finale, I was not expecting that at all. So yeah, I mean, really, that's all I have to say about Legends. Snart is back on the Waverider. We'll see how long he stays on. I know that Wentworth Miller, I believe he announced that he, after this season, he wouldn't be coming back. So we'll see what happens with this version of Snart by the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, Legends is Legends to me. I feel like I just watched Legends just to watch it just because I think it's entertaining, one, and to make sure that, you know, I like all of the DC TV shows, and so I watch them all just to follow all the storylines. And so for Legends specifically, I don't really take it too seriously. I just watch it and just let go and have fun with it because I feel like this season they're trying to do better, but the first season and then this season, I feel like every episode, it's kind of like its own story in a way, and then somehow it ties into the whole season arc. But I do feel like they're doing that better this season, as in sticking with an arc or sticking with the whole season arc. So we shall see, but that's all I have to say about Legends. Arrow, oh my gosh, I have so many notes about Arrow. Okay. So, we start off, Kaden and Soren snatched Quentin and blackmail Team Arrow into getting an amplifier from Argus that would further his plan in destroying Star City. Renee, which, no surprise, honestly, because he's the only one on the team outside of Diggle who has a kid, and he's the only one whose kid is not with them at the moment. So when they were like, oh, someone, like, we have a, what's the word? Essentially, someone on the team ratted them out, and I was not surprised that it was Renee, because he was the only one that could be used, because his daughter, he's not with his daughter at the moment. So, yeah. And then this detective has really been trying me this season. I call her Detective Too Much, because she has been doing too much all season. Like, she comes in onto the scene at 100. So yeah, she has been a bit much, and I'll be glad when we wrap this all up and she goes away. But yeah, Thea is woke, and she tells Oliver that he should be able to forgive Renee, since he can put himself in his shoes, which is true. And she felt like this was too easy of a forgiveness for how big of a, what's the word? How big of a betrayal it was. I felt like the forgiveness was too easy. But whatever, we got to move the storyline along. So Oliver kicks Renee off the team for going off mission, finally, because since the beginning, since we were introduced to him, Renee has had this whole, like, anxious, I don't want to say anxiety, but he's just always like, okay, I need to listen to this person, but I want to do my own thing, I want to do my own thing, I want to do my own thing. And finally, I mean, before it has, but finally, to the point that Oliver was like, look, you're off the team, because he went off mission and didn't listen. But then also, Dinah ends up quitting because she doesn't believe in Oliver anymore. So now Team Oliver is back to the basics and stripped down, which is quickly followed by Curtis, who also quits because he no longer trusts the Trinity, because, you know, they're the Trinity. This is our core group. This is who we started Team Arrow with. And they all share, they all trust each other and share, I don't want to say secrets, because that just sounds juvenile. They share intellect with each other and often keep it from everyone else on the team, because this episode, they were spying on them, and they all felt some type of way about being spied on without knowing they were being spied on. And so Curtis doesn't trust them anymore, and he's like, look, I'm out too. So, yeah. So this all leads to what looks like, when we come back, those three are going to try to form their own team and try to save Star City on their own without Oliver. We'll see how long that lasts. Most likely a couple of episodes, and then we'll be back to Team Arrow. But in the end, it looks like all of our evil people with who you've met throughout this season so far have all been working together to take down Oliver and his team. And so far, they are winning. So when we come back, we'll see how this all plays out. I don't know. This season I've been liking, I mean, it is lighter compared to previous seasons, and they did say that they were going to try to go a little bit lighter, even though I don't think Arrow needs to be lighter, because Arrow didn't start off light. So I just feel like we're playing to an audience on a different show and trying to keep that audience. But, you know, whatever floats your boat. Felicity got her second wedding, which, you know, good for her. She crashed Iris's wedding, then she had her own actual wedding. So good for her. But yeah, so they're now officially married, and we will see how this plays out, because if you've been listening to the show for a while, then you know how I have felt about Olicity, especially, I think it was 2 seasons ago when we got like heavy-handed Olicity everything, and to the point where I was like, okay, this is enough. And then they broke up and they were split for a while, and so now they're married. We'll see how this all plays out. Hopefully they have found the balance, and it won't be as heavy-handed as it was previously. So yeah, that's Arrow. Let's get into Gotham. So Falcone comes to Gotham. Oh my God, I have a lot of Gotham notes. Surprisingly, it was cut off and I started scrolling. I was like, okay, so let's get into this. So Falcone comes to Gotham and takes Sophia's ass back to Florida because, you know, she's been cutting up all season. She has been a character to me where I don't think she's like anything new as far as a character is, but I do think it has been interesting to watch her because while everyone she's been playing everyone all season long, and it's kind of been like, okay, who are you really with? It's been kind of hard to tell, but we know what her true will is, her true will, like what she truly wants to do. But yeah, so Falcone comes to take her back to Florida and the van pulls up shooting everyone, which to me, I was like, okay, this doesn't look right. I was like, this, how they did the scene, like the whole slow motion of Sophia at the flower bushes and like smelling the roses and looking out, like it just all screamed setup to me. Like this was all a setup because she's like, oh, can I just go and smell my roses one more time? And it felt like she was trying to buy time to me. And then the people pull up and start shooting and she conveniently gets shot in the side or whatever, wherever she got shot. And so I was like, okay, this looks like a setup. So Falcone ends up getting shot and dies. And we come to find out, no surprise, Sophia's behind everything. She brought Pig to Gotham. She killed her daddy. And all of this was revenge because Jim killed her brother. And so now she blackmails him into not turning her in and makes him take the blame for killing Pig, even though, like, at the end, she's the one who actually killed him. I mean, she is dirty, dirty, dirty. Then, so that's that whole story arc, which is like, okay. Then Enigma has a thing for Lee, which I don't think anyone didn't see this coming because especially the last couple of episodes where we saw scenes of them together, you can kind of see like his admiration for her and all of her goodness. But yeah, so that's the whole Enigma thing. We'll see how that all plays out. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not going to be together. I just don't see that ever happening. But Bruce, okay, let's get into Bruce. Because all season, I've just been like, he just needs a really good behind whooping and to get himself in line because he is just on his high horse and he just needs to be knocked off of it, his head a good time, hop back up and he'll be fine. That's all he needs. He got mad because Alfred finally gave him a good punch, the good punch that he needed. And so because his ego was bruised, he legally removed him as his guardian, then kicked him out of the house. I mean, we all know that this is not going to last that long because, I mean, who is Batman without Alfred? But yeah, I don't know. Bruce is going through something right now. We'll see. I do like seeing this side of Bruce, though, because he's always been a kid who was always had a goal, was always striving towards something, but he was also kind of cautious, whereas now he's kind of like the bad boy who we kind of, at least in the movies when we were introduced to Bruce Wayne, he's like this bad boy, millionaire, blah, blah, blah. And so it's interesting to see this little teenager play that type of a role. And I do think it gives some good character development because it's like, how long can we actually go down this same road that we've been traveling for the last couple of seasons now? So we'll see how this all pans out in the second half. Harvey quit the GCPD because, you know, he found out that Gordon was playing with Sophia and then everything. Gordon was playing with Sophia or making deals with Sophia, and he just doesn't feel like this is what he should be doing. So I don't know if this is going to stick or not. we shall see. I honestly haven't seen anything about if the actor is leaving the show. I haven't really looked, but hopefully not, because I do like Harvey as a character on the show. And I do think that Jim needs that person in his corner, and I feel like that's who Harvey is. They just need to rebuild their trust for each other. But yeah, so Penguin asks, he ends up going to jail, and he ends up next door to Jerome. We just can't seem to get rid of Jerome, which I'm okay with, because I do like his character, and I do think that the actor does him really, really well, and that means we're going to get way more Jerome in the second half. Well, I say way more right now, but it can end up being like one or two episodes, because last season he had his own little mini arc. So we'll see how long he lasts this season, but I'm excited to see him back. And yeah, that's all I have to say about Gotham. Gotham this season has been an interesting one. I did say before how, because the first season of Gotham, for me personally, was a little, a lot of rocky. But I do feel like they redeemed themselves, because they kind of, at least I envisioned, they regrouped and was like, okay, how can we do this better? And they made these half-season arcs, which I feel like really helped build the characters and helped with the whole story overall each season. And they're still continuing to kind of break the seasons in half and do like, this first half is kind of an arc, and then the second half is another arc. So I do think that that is working in their favor, and we will see how the second half of the season goes, because I'm not sure what the second half of the season will be called. But yeah, can't wait for that. Let's see. I have two more shows, so let's do Empire. Empire has been an interesting season. We had the Bois this season, and you know, it has been hard for me, because you know when you have those characters where you're just like, they're so bad, you're just like, I just want you to lose, I want someone to call you out. And I feel like Mrs. Dubois was just like that character, and for me it was so fun seeing Felicia Rashad play this type of a character, because we're used to her being like our TV mom, at least for me. Those are the kind of roles that she kind of plays in, and we rarely see her play an evil character. And so I think she did this really, really well. And she plays, I mean, a sign that you played a character well is if you can get people to hate you. And I was like, okay, somebody needs to grab her up, take her down, because she's doing too much. Like, she literally, the whole Andre scene always gets to me, especially when you take into effect his mental health, because I just feel like there are a few things to me that you should never, ever, 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 ever mess with. And if someone has mental issues, you should not mess around with that, because I just feel like that's off limits. So that whole scene when we were all like, we caught her. He was just using the doctor for the medicine. Like, she didn't really get far with him. But then we come to find out, like, she really did get far with him, where he created this whole person in his mind. And then to watch that whole breakdown, oh my gosh, I was like, I honestly was like getting a little teary-eyed, because I was like, you guys can't do this. And I feel like also it was great development for Andre's character, because the first season of Empire, I believe I said that out of the three brothers, his character development was a little bit lacking. In these last couple of seasons, I feel like they've really been building up his character a lot, to the point that we really care about Andre, and we really want Andre to be there. So yeah, but there are no more Dubois. They finally all came together and took them all down. Hakeem got his baby back. Andre is in the hospital. He's still, you know, working through it, but he did confess to Lucius, but before Lucius could react, he ended up getting stuck with a needle and drugged, and the crazy psychiatrist lady has him. So we will see where that goes, because I thought we were done with her, but she's back, and she is crazy. She's like beyond crazy. So we'll see where that whole story goes. Becky is pregnant, so we'll see how that goes. You guys know how I feel about pregnancies during TV shows and having to bring in a baby and all that stuff. So we'll see how that storyline goes, if she actually ends up keeping the baby or carrying the baby full term, which would be an interesting twist. I mean, I have been liking this season a lot. I feel like last season I struggled with because I was just like, okay, whatever, whatever. That's literally how I felt last season. But I have been enjoying this season a lot more, especially because I feel like we kind of got out of the whole, was that last season where it was like a lot of guest stars? I feel like the last couple of seasons, like a lot of guest stars and these weird storylines that didn't really make sense. Whereas this first half of the season felt like a storyline that had a start and an end as far as this first part goes. So we'll see where the second half goes, because Empire started off as a short season. And you guys know how I feel about long seasons, long season shows, because when you have so many episodes, I feel like it leaves room for the story just to go all over the place and there to be all these unnecessary filler episodes. But we'll see where it goes in the second half. But that's all I have for Empire. I forgot that I did not write any notes for Riverdale, which is surprising, because Riverdale's finale was the week after all of the other DC TV finales. So really quickly, Riverdale. Riverdale has been playing games this season. I don't have time for it. Like, I have these relationships that I actually like. Like, I love Jughead and, oh my gosh, why do I want to call her Becky? Because I was just talking about Empire. But I love Jughead and Bae together. I love Veronica and Archie together. That works. Don't mess with things that don't work. Even the first season when we were introduced to these characters, and it was like, oh, Betty has a thing for Archie. And I was like, okay. And I can't remember what I said about, like, that whole thing when I talked about it in the actual finale episode. But when they introduced Betty and Jughead and their whole chemistry on screen is just off the charts. Like, off the charts. You want to talk about chemistry? Those two have chemistry. Cole Sprouse and Lily Reinhart have straight chemistry to the point where I don't want to see Betty with Archie. And I don't want to see Jughead with anybody else. Like, they just work. And now it looks like they're like, oh, they took us through a breakup with Jughead and Betty. And then it was all because the hood was trying to set up or get Betty to help him or whatever. And then finally she revealed all of the plans that he had and she repaired all her relationships and they are back together. And now it looks like they're like, oh no, we're officially done. Like, Jughead broke it off because Betty was trying to insert herself into his world and he didn't want her in that world. And so he broke it off. And then all of a sudden, oh, now Betty and Archie look at each other outside their windows. And all of a sudden they realize these are the people who they should have been paying attention to, because, you know, Archie and Veronica are also not together. I don't like it. I don't like it. Hopefully this doesn't become a thing, because to me it just doesn't seem right. Like, no. Betty should be with Jughead. I don't care what the comics said or anything one else said. On this TV show, the way their chemistry is set up, those two need to be together, and that is the end all be all. So that's how I feel about Riverdale. That's honestly all I wanted to talk about on Riverdale, because that just really, really, really bugged me. So we'll see what happens in the second half of the season. This also is a longer season, which I think hurt this season a little bit, because again, some of the episodes felt unnecessary and like we didn't need it and didn't add to the storyline, but we shall see where we go in the second half of the season. So the last show I want to talk about before I jump into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because we're running on about 40 minutes here. So let's talk about The Good Doctor. This is really quick. I just want to say, I really enjoy The Good Doctor. Now, if you've listened for a while, The Good Doctor is not the type of show that I would normally talk about on this podcast. I don't even really personally like Dr. Scholl's, just because I have this weird thing with Dr. Scholl's where every time it's just this dramatic thing that no one's ever heard of or is really rare that someone could have, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, could I have that too? So that's a big reason why I don't watch Dr. Scholl's. But I forced myself to watch this because Freddie Highmore is in it, and you guys know Bates Motel was my jam. And every single episode and every season, I was like, Freddie Highmore and Vera Farmiga needs to get nominated because they are killing this. And it never happened. But I was like, whatever, we're going to watch this because Freddie Highmore is in it, and I'm going to support him because I think he's a great actor. And it literally sucked me in. And I was just like, it sucked me in on every single emotional level. You guys just do not understand. Like, even the first episode, I even like shed a little bit of tears. And yeah, me, Eva, the whole like superheroes and action movies and mysteries and all that stuff, like I shared a little bit of tears on the first episode because Freddie Highmore is just such a great actor, and he sucked me into this, and so I kept watching. And honestly, it's been a great season so far, and I can't wait to see where the rest of the season goes and how they develop Sean as a character. And Freddie Highmore has finally been nominated for a Golden Globe. So hopefully, I mean, that whole category is pretty stacked. So we'll see how it turns out. But if he does win, I mean, it's well-deserved because he's such a great actor. And I can't wait to see where he goes in his career. So yeah, that's all I'm going to say about The Good Doctor. Watch it if you don't watch it, because it is a great show. So let's get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is also going to be quick because we've only had 5 episodes. But yeah, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we come back. We have the whole LMD story arc, which, you know, you either liked it or you hated it. And we come, and now, which is, this season's kind of has some remnants from the LMD arc because, you know, I'm not the most scientific person, but somehow, like, that whole, oh my gosh, I can't remember what time, the time, why don't I want to say time frame, but you guys know what I'm talking about, where they all were in, like, the whole last few episodes of the last season. Time work. Is that right? If it's not, again, call me out on it. But framework. Oh my gosh, there it is. I was like, why do I want to say time? Because somehow the framework ties into this. I mean, I don't know. I have to rewatch to hear how that all works. But yeah, somehow it does. But this season has been interesting. I actually have surprisingly been liking this season. We're in space and we're in the future. And it has been an interesting ride to try to figure out what all exactly is going on, because we're kind of with the agents at the moment where they don't really know what's going on, and we as a viewer don't really know what's going on, so we're all learning together. And then also, we don't start off with everyone on the team. We only start off with 7 out of the 8 because Fitz was left in the present time, and we don't even find out what happens with him until this last episode that we just had, which honestly, to me, the Fitz episode was like the best episode of the season, because having him in the present moment trying to figure out what happened for me helped answer some of the questions that I had, because I was still slightly confused. And so now he froze himself for a lot of years, I can't remember the exact number, to catch up to when the agents would be snatched and brought into the future. And now he's been reawakened, and we will see when we come back in 2 weeks how he's going to help get the team out of the situation and get them all back to their right place in time. But I just want to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really quickly, because I have been liking this season so far. It's been an interesting one, and I can't wait to see where we go from this, because this is a shorter season than we've had before, and I think that's going to greatly help the storyline, because you guys know, if the season's too long, you leave it open for too many filler episodes, and that's where a lot of shows meet their downfall. So yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., great season so far. that was quick. That's all I wanted to say about Agent Shield. But yeah, that's everything I want to talk about as far as for winter finales. What did you watch this season? Did you enjoy the season so far? Did you enjoy the winter finales? Let me know. As always, you can catch me on social media at InHerGlam on everything. And I'll be back soon with another episode. So, yeah.